Praise the Lord. Tell you what, I honestly, I've lost track of what day it is. I thought today was Sunday for some reason. We got to church tonight, and I thought, better get to church before 7 o'clock before church starts.
It starts at 6, you've been late anyway.
That's right. finished a missions conference in Pennsylvania this past week. In fact, a week ago today. We started a conference in Homer City, Pennsylvania, and say, where is that? That's what I asked, too. It's right outside of Pittsburgh by an hour. But when we got the news of what happened, Emmanuel going home to be with the Lord, we got the news Saturday night. And so we thanked the Lord we were still in country and not too far away. We flew in and out of DFW, or Dallas Love Field, so we were able to come down here. But thank the Lord for this church. And thank the Lord for your support over the years. We're looking forward to getting back. November 13th is a magic date, amen. Some people, you know, you set aside your date for your wedding, amen. Well, we're setting aside November 13th. We got the tickets and we're heading out. Now, I invite anyone to come along, amen. If y'all want to come on to Madagascar, we've got an extra bedroom. We'll even feed you, amen. Edible food too, amen. Well, we won't feed you screeches and cockroaches and stuff like that. People ask us what kind of food we eat over there, and there are missionaries. I'm sure they have to eat off the land. Amen. I've got a friend over there, Bobby Burdett. He could do that. He is missionary meets MacGyver. Amen. That's the type of guy he is, and he could live off the land. He could tell you what kind of berry that is, what leaf that is, etc., etc. Grind it into something and make a four-course meal out of it. I'm not like that. I'm a city boy. Amen. I'm a city boy. We live in Antananarivo, capital city, over 4 million people in the capital. We live right down the road from a grocery store. I love my conveniences of city life. The only thing I don't like about Madagascar is the traffic. And actually, San Antonio, we're coming into town. San Antonio is starting to look like Madagascar's traffic. I looked at my Darlene. We're driving back to the room tonight, or today, and we were just driving around getting some things done. I thought, honey, this feels a lot like Madagascar traffic. Amen. But I see all the construction. That does not remind me of Madagascar, because they do not do road construction. Amen. The city grows, but the roads do not. I feel privileged to preach tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I was praying about what to give you tonight. I want to be a blessing and encouragement to you. Some of you have had a long day. Appreciate you coming to church tonight. Maybe some of you have had a hard day, a day at work. I don't know. But I was praying about what to preach, and I appreciate Brother Block letting me do this. And pray for Brother Nichols. I love Brother Nichols. I'll tell you what, one of the things that keeps us going on the field when we can, and the internet's strong enough, is we not necessarily stream live because of the time difference, but we stream preaching videos. And in fact, before we left to ship our container, Brother Tony Gallardo got me a bunch of, I asked for a bunch of preaching CDs from Brother Nichols, and I've got, good grief, probably 50 to 100 preaching CDs in Madagascar where I put them in my little CD player. And yes, they actually have tape players over there, amen? Those things aren't obsolete in Madagascar. But if I'm doing receipts, paperwork, just things that, something you don't have to really concentrate on, I'll put a preaching tape in, preaching CD in, and just listen to preaching. Listen to preaching. It's an encouragement to hear from home, amen? To hear doctrine, to hear good preaching. Please don't take that for granted, folks. Please don't take Liberty Baptist Church for granted. We've been to churches where the pastor's struggling because the people won't follow him. There are churches where a pastor will take a church, and it's a 66% vote or something like that, and half the people don't want him anyway, and they try to run him out of town. Liberty Baptist Church, Brother Block, Brother Nichols, this church is one of few churches, I can tell you right now, where, don't take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? Don't take it for granted. Thank God for Liberty Baptist Church. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight. Notice, if you would, the first few verses of this chapter. Paul here, I got to praying about what to preach, and folks, Paul is a great example to us in many ways, and I want to look at him tonight. And I, brethren, Paul said, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. There are many eloquent people, but and Paul could have used eloquence, could have used wisdom. He was a wise person, but he said, I'd rather declare unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Again, this is the Apostle Paul writing this, not a five-year-old, not someone who's hiding behind a bush somewhere, scared. Paul knew how to, and he writes in Philippians, he knew how to be abased and how to abound. But he says here in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul lived his life not to try to attract people to himself, but to point people to Christ. He said here, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He demonstrated the power of God in his life. Verse 5, why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, the power, the reason for Paul's power. The reason for Paul's power. Our Father and our God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the events of today, Lord, the homegoing of Emmanuel, Lord. We got to celebrate his homegoing together with friends and family. And God, we rejoice that he's in your presence now, leaping and praising you. And we just ask that, Lord, you please bless the service tonight. Give us clarity of mind, Lord God. Please hide me behind the cross. Help me be a blessing, Lord, to your people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As good as a Christian as Paul was, he too himself had low days, had bad days. In Madagascar, one of the things that we had to overcome as far as culture was concerned is they think that because if you're white and you're an American or you're a foreigner, you have money and all your problems are solved. They think you don't have any problems. In fact, if you're walking along, and as big as I am, sometimes I don't always see the stumbling block in front of me. If you trip and fall and hurt yourself, they laugh. Not to laugh at you per se in a mocking way, but they laugh thinking, wow, even the American has a bad day. That's how they think. I've had them tell me before, manambuli, you know, you've got money. Si manambulu na mihitsi, you know, you don't have any problems. Manankare na mihitsi, anareo. Y'all, you Americans all have money. You're all rich. And I looked at one guy, not in a mean way, and I said, who lied to you? He's like, what do you mean, who lied to me? I said, who lied to you and told you all Americans are rich? We have taxes, we work a job, and Americans have to pay the government this and that. And I tried to, in a concise way, tell them what American life is like for the blue-collar people. What they think is that Britney Spears and these Hollywood performers, they think that we have an easy life because we're all in Hollywood and make lots of money. You try to explain that to them, and that's not the case. Well, Paul, ladies and gentlemen, as good as a Christian was, he had bad days too. Paul had such bad days that there were times in Ephesians, for example, where he said, pray that I'll have the boldness to speak as I ought to speak. There are times where Paul said, I don't even want to preach. There were times he didn't want to get up and declare the gospel. He was having a bad day. People were throwing the tracts on the ground. They were spitting at him, mocking him as he walked the streets. So why did Paul do what he did? What was Paul's reason for his power? Why did he get up every day and dust his pants off, so to speak, put his shoes on and go preach? Why did he do this? The reason for Paul's power, first of all, he had the power of a crucified life. He had the power of a crucified life. This is very interesting. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatian tukufaharu. Galatians chapter 2. If I start speaking in tongues, I'll interpret for myself, I promise. Unless my wife interprets for me, amen. And that by course. The Bible, as the Bible says. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, I'm a word guy. I'm not a math guy. If there's some of you out there that like numbers, I don't mind. Oh, I can do simple math, amen, 2 + 2. But when it comes to that algebra stuff, that's a little out of my league. So I delve into dictionaries, and people ask me what I do for fun in Madagascar. That's a really strange, that's a real good question. I've told people anywhere from, you know, tearing my bike apart, my motorcycle, and my Yamaha, cleaning the spark plugs, to just, you know, I don't know, reading a book or something. There's not a lot to do. I mean, we don't have Six Flags. We don't have, you know, we don't have all the stuff that keeps you entertained here in America, per se. But one of the things that I do like to do is I like to read the Malagasy Dictionary. Saying, that's kind of weird. Yeah, but I like words. And I'll sit home, I'll open it up, and it's a Malagasy English dictionary, and I'll read a word, and, oh, that's what that means. And I'll go to church and ask Doné or one of the guys, okay, what does this mean in this context? How do you use this word? It's no, you know, it's no use knowing a word if you don't know how to use it, right? Especially if you don't want to make someone mad. But I'm a word guy, so when I looked at this verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I began to dissect it, and honestly, folks, if you look it up and study it word for word almost, it's amazing what Paul was saying in this verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now let me stop right there and let me ask you this, why would Christ want to live in you? Why would he want to live in my body? You ever driven up to a house when you were looking for houses? Did your realtor ever drive you up to a house and you looked at it and you said, I don't want to live in that thing. Hello? Well, why would Christ want to live in this body? Amen? Well, it says here, Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the Bible says here that Paul says here he was crucified with Christ. Crucified literally means I have become utterly estranged from my former habit of feeling or action. That's what it means. I've completely become estranged from my former feeling of habit or action. Paul said, you know, I used to do thus and so. It may not be a bad habit, folks. It may not be a sin, but the Bible talks about lay aside every sin and the weight which does so easily beset us. Paul said, I'm willing to estrange myself from these things, maybe because maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's something, a fleshly habit that keeps him from knowing Christ better. And he says, I'm crucified even to that end. I'm willing to give up whatever this mess is. And in fact, he said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. So crucified. Why was Paul living for Christ? Because he was crucified. He was willing to estrange himself from bad habits and things that would keep him from Christ. Then he goes on to say in the verse, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Now think about that. Who loved me? The word loved means to love dearly. You married tonight, you didn't just marry that gal or that guy because you like them. Because they can sing a soft lullaby to you. If you want that, go buy a CD or something, stick it in your CD player and go to sleep to that. Because that likey, warm, fuzzy feeling is not going to keep you married for 30 years. If you get married, though, because you love them dearly, forsaking all others, sickness as in health and poverty as in wealth, till death do you part. Paul said that's how much Christ loved me. Who loved? He didn't say I loved him. He said who loved me. Wow, that's pretty serious, Paul. You ever talk to your relatives and they tell you, you're pretty serious about this religion, aren't you? Or your workmates, you know. It's always a workmate. Some guy, and they always start off, they come up to you, hey, Bobby, what do you think about this? How did this guy, Eric, when I worked at O'Reilly's, he studied philosophy, apparently, and he'd come up to me at work after school. I get out of college, going to work, and never failed. He'd always walk up to me, hey, Scotty, what do you think about the Shroud of Turin or something like that? They found a piece of the robe of Jesus. And I said, I think you need to go on Amazon because you can finally find the same thing. What? 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 You don't think they found the piece of Jesus' garment? I said, no. But these people, when I told them that I was leaving O'Reilly, I was quitting my job to go to Matt. My wife and I said we were packing up to go to Illinois and work there for 2 years because ultimately we're going to Africa to work in Africa. We didn't know Madagascar at the time. And they would say, well, can't you just work among Africans here in America and call it good? That's what they tell me. Just work with African people here, black people. That's what he told me. That's what they would tell me. And I was like, I get your idea, but no, that's not what God wants me to do. God wants me to leave and go. They couldn't understand that. But I did that because we do what we do, and you that are soul winners here, your Sunday school teachers, you work here at the church, you do it because you love him dearly, because he loved us dearly. Amen. And you're willing to do whatever you can for him. He said, who loved me, to love dearly. Then it says, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now again, I looked this up. Who gave himself? It means to commit, to hazard, to yield up. You guys, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Have you ever been in a position where you had to hazard your life for your wife or, you know, for your kids? Maybe you've been put in a position where it was your life or hers. I'm not saying a burglary situation, just, you know, in a situation where if you weren't put in that position, you'd say you'd be willing to. You would give yourself to her in that way. I commit myself to you. I'm willing to yield myself for you. Sometimes what I want is not what she wants. You know, I want a burger. She wants Chick-fil-A. You got to pray about that. Amen. Oh, yeah. We paid their electric bill. No. We were back in June, we were in candidate school. This was hilarious. We were in candidate school at BIMI, and that place, my goodness gracious, when they tell you, we had already been approved as missionaries to BIMI in December, but then you come back in June for a rigorous education, if you will. Some of it was refresher. Some of it we kind of already knew. We'd been on the field. And we were sitting with a bunch of folks that were just starting deputation. Usually their eyes were like bullfrog and headlights, you know, in the world. You know, what deputation was going to be like. But Monday night, each day, it was long. We'd get up. Breakfast was at 7 in the morning. And then we wouldn't get out of class till sometimes 8 o'clock that night. It was college on steroids is what they call it. But the last class of Monday night, of all things, this gal is a good girl. Her name is Kelly Edmonds, and she's a nurse. Her and her husband are nurse or doctors who have a medical ministry. They serve with BIMI, and they go all over the world helping in different countries with medical needs. Well, she got up there, and she was giving out these healthy eating tips for on the road while you're eating. And first thing she says was avoid fast food. And we all laughed, and it's like, sure, you know, we don't exactly carry a Coleman stove with us. You know, we can't just cook everywhere unless you drive an RV or something. But, you know, everyone just laughed, and she said, except Chick-fil-A, amen? Chick-fil-A is good. We love Chick-fil-A. Glory to God. We were at the airport coming back from Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh there, and we ate at Chick-fil-A. Well, they have a sign in the one that I went to. It said, it was a quote from Truett Cathy, the founder. It said, to glorify God by being a good steward of what all he has given in possession to us and to be a positive influence to all who we come in contact with. And it's signed as Truett Cathy. I thought that was pretty cool. But anyhow, so gave himself, yielded himself. Paul said, the reason I can go on and do what I do in demonstration of the Spirit and the power is because I'm crucified with Christ who loved me and gave himself. I'm able to yield myself to him Because that's what he did for me. He's not asking me to do something he didn't do himself. And I can do that each day. You know how you're going to go to work tomorrow? You know how you can get your boots back? Get up, fellas, get up, ladies, and do what you got to do for the Lord tomorrow? Right here. Lord, you gave yourself for me. You gave me my husband. You gave me my wife. You gave me my kids. You gave me this house. You gave me America. You gave me Liberty Baptist Church. God, I want to yield myself to you as you did for me. I'm giving myself to you as you did for me. I'm crucified unto you. What do you want me to do today for you? Power of a crucified life. That'll change you. Secondly, not only the power of a crucified life, but the power of a Christ who saves and satisfies. The power of a Christ who saves and satisfies. Look at verse 2, chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, our text. He said here, "For I determined not to know anything among you save who? Jesus Christ and him crucified." He wasn't trying to promote a get-rich-quick scheme. He wasn't trying to promote Baptist religion. He wasn't trying to promote any fast way to have success in the Christian life. He said, if you followed Christ, that's all you need. Amen. Everything else will fall in place. Amen. The power of a Christ who saves and satisfies. Notice chapter 1 and verse over across the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18, he said here, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" You go into some high school or university today and tell them that their world was made in 7 days or 6 days and explain, you know, creation the way the Bible describes it and try to disprove evolution, they're going to think you're nuts. Because the Bible says they will. Because the wisdom of the world doesn't understand the wisdom of God. Then verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God," what? "By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Only when we preach Christ, him crucified, Christ resurrected, Christ the Lord of Savior, the Lord and Savior, Christ who saves and satisfies all who come to him, only till we preach Christ do we not have the power that we need to live our lives. I said saves and satisfies. You know, there are a lot of Christians here tonight. You're saved, but you're not satisfied. You're not. I meet a lot of Christians. We have Christians in our church in Madagascar. They're saved. They've given themselves to Christ in salvation, and they're going to heaven. But the Bible talks about, yet so shall he be saved, so as by fire. They're going to get into heaven, but by the skin of their teeth. Because they don't want to live for Christ. They don't put others first. And I'm not just talking about, you know, at the food line, at the table. They don't want Christ to control their life. They want Christ to be their co-pilot. They want him on Sunday morning, Sunday night, to make him feel, so they can come and feel warm and fuzzy at church. And then they want to go home and live like they want to live. But Christ, if he's going to satisfy us, he's got to have everything. When we're sometimes in Madagascar, it's hot. This year, we don't get any winter at all. August is our coldest month. June and July, it starts cooling down, but August, it's cold. So this year we don't get any, we go from hot to hot, amen. We're living in November, it may be a little cool here, but when we get over there, it's going to be 80-ish in the 90s, something like that. December's our hottest month. It's raining all the time, between October and April. We're never lonely because we have mosquitoes, amen. We always have mosquitoes keep us company. But it's hot. And sometimes, to be honest with you, we come home from church. We're just beat. We're tired. Been translating, thinking in Malagasy all day long. We sit down. Sometimes the only thing refreshing is a cold glass of Coke. Amen. We don't have Dr. Pepper over there unless we have it shipped over. My wife has to drink Pepsi over there, so I'll get her a thing of Pepsi, and I'll have my Coke. And the Coke and sodas over there taste differently than they do here. I don't know. It's probably the chemical mixture. I don't know. But I'll get home, and sometimes I'll just sit there, and you know how you do sometimes. You crack the lid, and it's like, oh, that sounds good. You pour over that ice, and you just sip on it like, oh, thank you, God. As Joe Boyd used to say, get the Lord a wave offering. Get the Lord a wave offering. I don't know if any of y'all remember that. Get the Lord a wave offering. It satisfies. You're hot. You're tired. You ever get hot and tired spiritually and you're just beat up, carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? Well, why don't you come to the Christ of Calvary and let him just satisfy you with his goodness. Let him just satisfy you with his love. Let him just satisfy you with his grace. Let him just satisfy you with his mercy. Hey, folks, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. The power of a crucified life, the power of a Christ who saves and satisfies. Thirdly and finally, the power of a cause worth living for. You get up, and if your only reason for living is that 9-to-5 job that you worked this week, well, you're not going to be, you don't have much of an incentive, do you? Now, I'm glad you have that 9-to-5 job if you have one, or 10-to-whatever, as they called it in college. We go in to load trucks at 10 o'clock in the morning, or in my case, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And when you realize the workload, we're going to be here a while, boys. They call it the 10 to whatever shift, because sometimes we get off at 3 or 4 in the morning. But Philippians chapter 1. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you've got a good marriage, you've got a happy life, or maybe if you're not married even, you got a good home life, I don't know, and God's just been good to you, and, you can go to school, go to work. You're living for Christ, and it just seems. And I'm, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you have to have those things for God to be good. I'm just saying you're trying to live for the Lord, and God's blessing you. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're not married. Maybe you live at home. Maybe you don't. Whatever your situation is, married, single, I don't know. Whatever your situation is, if you're living for God and you know God's happy with you and you're happy in the place where God wants you to be, you're growing, you're faithful to church, then folks, nothing wrong with that. You have a cause worth living for. I'm serving my King every day. Whatever comes, he loves me, I love him, and I'm going to keep on serving him. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ. You can get up every day, and that's your motive for going to work. That's your motive for making money. That's your motive for being faithful to your spouse. That's your motive for going to school. That's your motive for whatever it is. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In Madagascar, sometimes when we baptize folks, we don't have baptistries like we do here. And every church is different, even here in America. In Illinois, we had a cattle trough. Amen. That's what we used. But in Madagascar, we have a lake. Now, thankfully, we don't have any crocodiles in the lake, or snakes for that matter. But a lot of times, when we're out there, culturally, they believe in some taboos, they believe that there are spirits under the water that if you get baptized, these dead spirits, evil spirits, will pull you under and drown you. So some of them freak out and you're scared, when even after they're saved that this is going to happen. Saying, well, they shouldn't do that. Well, it took you how long to give up smoking after you got saved?
Yeah.
Well, these folks got baggage too. Yeah. And some of them have been seeped in it 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
But when we baptize, half of the time what we have to do is we'll pull up, I'll drive my vehicle out. Ben will drive his vehicle out. We'll rent a bus for the church folks. Probably have 50, 60 people go out. And Donnie or Dean or George, one of the guys, will go out there and talk to the people because a lot of times what will happen, there'll be people lining the edge of the river, the lake area, washing their clothes or even bathing in some cases. So we just have to be careful where we baptize, what spot. But if they're washing or kids are just plain swimming, we'll ask them, could you please step out of the water just for a second? We'd like to baptize. And that really gets their curiosity. What in the world? Baptism? What is that? To them, they're pagan and false religion. They sprinkle. They got the Catholics that sprinkle. You never see anyone else baptizing in a lake over there unless they're Pentecostal and they believe they're getting baptized by the Holy Spirit, of course. But we'll get these people out of the water. And I baptized last year in August. That was cold. Oh, that was. You ever had to baptize Brother Block when? Yeah, amen. It's fun. Heater's broken or something, amen. Our heaters are always broken in Madagascar. It's called nature. Well, I got in there. I didn't have any waders on. I just had my Crocs, my shoes, and my just some old dingy pants and my shirt and tie on. And I get out there in the water, and I'm shaking. It's cold. I'm like, I turn around to face the people. I'm like, ah, Sara Niranu, the water is warm. Avi, avi, come on in. They're like, Pastor, my dicha, you know, you're naughty. No, it's not. It is not warm. Fetsi, be, my mandanga, you know, Pastor. Not right. That's not right, Pastor. But where was I going with that? But anyway, so we baptize. And, okay, and after we baptize, we say, you know, baptize in the name. We do the baptism. In English, we say, I baptize you, my brother and sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, et cetera, et cetera. Over there, I do the baptism on you, is what we say. We do the baptism on you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, bearing likeness of his death, and then, you know, raised together with him in the likeness of his resurrection, walking into the life. And you ought to see the looks we get from people standing around when we do that. When we hear, and Ben and I, we say it loud, you know, raised in newness of life. You know, we try to say it to where everyone can hear what we're doing. Amen. And there have been times, Brother Block, where we get done baptizing, people are in the bus, got blankets up, the people are changing and drying off, getting ready to go, we take a church picture together, and then we go. There have been times where, oh, a couple of people are curious. They'll walk up to some of our church people. What were y'all doing? Nothing happened under the water. No one died. Nothing happened. What kind of church are you guys? No one got healed or anything. And they'll explain the gospel to them. What's our cause? The cause is the gospel. Our cause is the gospel. Why are we in Madagascar? For Jesus Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I don't know what kind of boss you have at work. Maybe you work for someone here in the church. Maybe you just work for a lost guy. I've worked for both. I've worked for Christians and I've worked for lost people. The one thing that drove me to do my best, no matter who I worked for, was Christ. Was Christ. In fact, when I worked at Putnam City Schools in Oklahoma City, my one boss, his name was Buddy Benson, a retired truck driver. He called us the God Squad because there were several OBC students at the time working for Putnam City. And so whenever we had a festivity or something, lots of food left over, he'd say, go feed them God Squad all that food, amen. And I'd take it home or whatever. But when I worked at O'Reilly's loading trucks, I don't know how many times the boss would come to me. I was one of their trainers, teaching newbies how to load the trucks and the way they liked it and so forth and so on. And they I'd hear the boss. He'd give me the guy, and then he'd say, now listen, be careful, otherwise you'd be going to church pretty soon with him. That's what he'd say. But when I left both jobs, here's my point. When I left Putnam City and when I left O'Reilly's, they would tell me, now, if this ministry thing don't work out, you're going into the ministry. If this ministry thing don't work out, you just come back and see me. You have a job waiting for you. Yeah. I said, thank you, but I've got something waiting for me. I've got a cause. Amen. Let me ask you something, fellas. What's your cause? And are you going to lead your family? Are you going to lead your wife, your family in your cause? Are you determined, I'm going to serve God no matter what happens to me? Yeah. Ladies, what's your cause? Is he your cause? Is the guy at work your cause? Watch out. Yeah. You got to watch out. Better make sure our marriages are what they ought to be for Christ. Better make sure our kids. I'm not a perfect, I'm not the poster child of, you know, children. I had my problems. But one of the things I did, kids, young people, was I made these men and women of Liberty Baptist Church my role models growing up. I did. Now, do you say that they have feet of clay? Yes, they do. But ultimately, I made the God of heaven my cause. And when you do that, you'll get disappointed. Things are going to happen. But you're going to have a power that passes on the understanding. You're going to have a reason to keep going. You're going to have a motivation that's going to get you through the storms of life when nothing else will. What kind of power did Paul have? It wasn't 1 Timothy 2:20. It was Jesus Christ himself and him crucified. Our Father and our God, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Please help us, Lord God.